It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi.
Hi, Manoush.
And on the show today, what leadership looks like. Hi, Patrice. Hello. How are you?
I'm really good, thank you.
This is Patrice Gordon. She works in finance at Virgin Atlantic. But a few years ago, the head of HR came to her with an unusual request.
And she said, oh, Craig, who's the CEO of Virgin Atlantic, is interested in this reverse mentoring scheme. And he doesn't have any black females within his personal circle or within his work circle. Mm. Would you be interested in being Craig's reverse mentor?
Basically, would Patrice be willing to mentor or coach Virgin Atlantic's CEO?
I didn't have to think long and hard. It was an automatic yes almost. I didn't really know what I was getting myself involved in, to be honest.
Maybe you've heard of reverse mentoring. Since the 90s, companies have been pairing up younger employees with senior staff to keep them up to date, usually about new technology.
But this was looking at it from a different lens, right? It was looking at it from an ethnicity lens and from a female lens.
So before you went to meet then CEO Craig Krieger for the first time, What was going on in your mind? Did it bother you that he didn't have many women, no black women, in his executive circle?
No, it didn't bother me because actually it's incredibly common. Look, across the UK, there's 8% of CEOs are female. I think there's only one that is a woman of color. So it didn't surprise me at all.
For several months, Patrice and Craig met one-on-one.
And actually, I drove us to our first meeting, which was a little bit nerve-wracking. I thought, well, better not speed.
And as they got to know each other, Patrice told him more about what it was like to be a woman of color at Virgin Atlantic and in the world more generally.
His intention was to understand the lived experience of someone who's very different to him and figure out actually within the organization, were there any barriers to my success that he could help influence or change?
What did you say?
I said to him, one of my key things was when you're looking at your pipeline or when you're asking your leaders to look at their pipeline or look at who they mentor, both officially and unofficially, are they replicas of themselves? Mm. Are they hiring and promoting and developing because of that similarity bias? And he fully took that on board and he challenged his leadership team also.
From discrimination to climate change and inequity, leaders today are being asked to solve big systemic problems. Many are also being pressed to take a new, more humble approach to taking charge. But can authority and humility coexist? And at a time when stories about authoritarian heads of state dominate the headlines, who can show us what leading differently looks like? Well, today on the show, ideas about evolving leadership. We'll hear how the head of one of the world's smallest countries is leading the biggest nations on fighting climate change.
We thought, how could we make a difference? What issues could we choose to champion to try to shift the dial?
And we'll learn what it takes to nurture a new generation of female leaders in a nation where educating girls is outlawed.
Afghan women have fought many hardships. Each one of those acts of silencing women only awakens the anger and sense of resistance in thousands more.
But first, let's go back to Patrice Gordon, the Virgin Atlantic exec who mentored her boss, the CEO. The experience changed him as a leader, and it gave Patrice a stronger sense of belonging.
I knew that the work that I was doing made a difference, but from that relationship, I really felt like I mattered.
The best type of feedback you can get is feedback from your employees. But most leaders suffer because they think too highly of themselves, because their opinion of themselves is actually disconnected from what others see.
This is Tomas Chamorro Pramujic.
And I'm an organizational psychologist.
So Tomas studies human behavior at work. Specifically, he researches why some people become leaders.
And what attributes or qualities people actually should have in order to lead effectively.
And Tomas says empathy and making an employee feel like they matter, That is good leadership. But he thinks the reason why Patrice's story sounds so remarkable to us is because it's still so rare.
Empathy, kindness, emotional intelligence. It's far less controversial today to talk about these traits as emblematic of good leadership. And yet, how many of us are capable of naming famous CEOs who are known for their humility? There aren't that many.
So you're saying we pay a lot of lip service, that we say we want compassionate and smart leaders, but the people who actually rise to the top of organizations are who?
We go for people who are confident rather than competent. We go for people who are charismatic rather than humble. And we often even pick people who are narcissistic rather than honest. The reason for this is that for 99% of our revolutionary history, we needed people who were tough, who were brave, who were courageous. It was easy to choose people who are ethical and honest because we mostly hung out with the same 10 or 20 people all of our life, and everyone had a very, very accessible reputation. But if you fast forward 250,000 years, in a complex world where we still want to cling to what we see and we want to decide whether somebody should be president based on whether they look good on television or in our own imagination, it will be fun to have a beer with them. Unfortunately, the results are what we mostly see, which is not so much competence in leadership roles.
Okay, so we may think that our ideas about leadership have evolved a lot, but according to your research, we continue to consciously or subconsciously associate certain attributes with leadership. Like what?
One of the attributes that first comes to mind is actually gender. If you ask people to think about a leader, probably 8 or 9 out of 10 people that come to mind will be men rather than women. The other thing we know is that irrespective of the gender that people think of when they imagine a hypothetical or a real leader, they tend to think about attributes that are mostly masculine. Things like confidence, assertiveness, bravado, toughness, dominance, aggression.
Mm.
But the big paradox that I have researched is that if leadership selection was like a wine blind tasting contest, and we actually ignored the gender or the sex of the individuals, and we only picked people based on their talent, on their merit, or on their potential, we would actually end up with something like 60 or 65% of leaders being female rather than male.
So the main question we should be asking is not why there aren't any more women leaders, but why so many incompetent men become leaders.
Here's Tomas Chamorro Pramujic on the TED stage.
My research suggests there are 3 main reasons for this. The first is we assume that confident people have more potential for leadership, but in any area of talent, including leadership, there is just very little overlap between confidence, how good people think they are at something, and competence, how good they actually are at something. The second reason is our love for charismatic individuals, particularly since the 1960s mass media explosion, but this has been turbocharged by the recent digital age. But in fact, the best leaders are humble rather than charismatic, to the point of even being rather boring. For example, imagine a movie on Angela Merkel. She wakes up, has breakfast with her husband, goes to meetings well prepared, lets other people talk without interrupting them, makes rational decisions. There are no scandals about her. In contrast, there is a surplus of captivating biopics on charismatic leaders with a fascinating dark side who end up ruining their countries and organizations. The third and final reason is our inability to resist the allure of narcissistic individuals. Much of the popular advice that focuses on helping people become leaders nurtures and promotes a narcissistic mindset. Unfortunately, this creates a surplus of leaders who are unaware of their limitations and unjustifiably pleased with themselves.
So, Tomas, I have to ask, so far we've been using terms like masculine and feminine to describe different attributes of leadership. But, you know, nowadays so many of us are trying to avoid stereotypes based on gender. So, Are those really the right terms to use?
It's absolutely fair to acknowledge that this labeling or denomination of masculine or feminine is based on somewhat archaic and ancient archetypes or stereotypes. It's also important to acknowledge that when we talk about femininity and masculinity, it is precisely an attempt to go beyond their biological gender or their sexual orientation to look at quantitative differences, so ordinal differences in traits that have historically been seen as either more dominant or, more pro-social, more altruistic.
You're suggesting turning traditional ways of leading on their head. But if someone has never seen that kind of leadership modeled for them, or they've never seen it succeed, this could feel incredibly risky, maybe even scary to them.
Yes, absolutely. And, fundamentally, it requires taking risks. It requires a lot of humility and courage to try different things, We evolve to trust our instincts, but actually the best leaders learn how to go against their nature to be the best version of themselves. So simply from a kind of group selection point of view, in a crude Darwinian way, if you like, the safe and rational prediction to make is that institutions, organizations, and societies that are better led and that have more good, decent, competent leaders in charge will outperform their competitors. Good leadership is always an argument with tradition. Leaders fight with the past. They argue with tradition to replace it with something better.
That's organizational psychologist Tomas Chamorro Primožek. His book is called Why Do So Many Incompetent Men Become Leaders? Earlier you heard from Patrice Gordon. Her book comes out later this year. It's called Reverse Mentoring, Removing Barriers and Building Belonging in the Workplace. You can see both of their talks at TED.com. On the show today, what leadership looks like. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and you're listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR. We'll be right back.